Thank you so much for joining us today at Our Savior's Church, where we are one church meeting in 6 different locations. And our goal is to help you on your spiritual journey to know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and make a difference in the lives around you. If you'd like to learn more about Our Savior's Church or how to get involved, visit us online at oursaviorschurch.com.
Well, good morning, everybody. Come on, you knew better than that. Good morning, everyone. Come on, girls. Are y'all ready for a rise? Husbands, Heidi's exactly right. I promise you, if you'll go out there and buy her a ticket right after this, if you'll buy her a ticket today, tonight, though some of you ain't picking up what I'm dropping down, are you? Come on, girls, can I get an amen? If you'll go get me a ticket, okay, anyway, we'll leave that. You guys will pick that up later. I just want to say, What a privilege it is to be back with you. I'm Pastor Eugene. I'm the lead pastor here at the Opelousas campus, and my wife Heidi, who gave the announcement earlier. On behalf of our staff as well, we want to go ahead and welcome all of our first-time guests. I know we already greeted you, but we just wanted to say we're so glad you're here. Put your hands together one more time for our first-time guests. We're so grateful to have you here. And I'm excited. We started a brand new series beginning last week, and I want to also encourage you, in case you ever miss a week, if you go, I miss what last week was, you can always go to oursaviorschurch.com. You can click on the Opelousas campus, and it'll say sermons, and you can always listen to the last week. In fact, I think we actually put it up before the afternoon's even over. So today, you could leave here and go, oh man, somebody needs to get that. You could send them the link, or you can listen to it this afternoon, even if you want to. So just want to tell you that, and then I'm going to jump into today's message. If I was recapping last week, we entitled last week, It's a New Season. Everybody say new season. Yeah, how many of you would like a new season? You wish the old, I just need to get into a new one. And I talked a lot about that. In fact, our big thought from last week was, I want you to say this with me. Say, it's not about you. Say it one more time. It's not about you. And I want you to touch your neighbor and say, it's not about you. Yeah, now turn to the one you didn't choose. Yeah, your second choice. Tell them it's not really about you. Here's what's cool for all of us together, and it doesn't matter if you're brand new today. I mean, this is a cool time to get in and to get on, because our church has been going for 9.5 years. We set up and broke down church. We're mobile for over 450 services. Wrap your head around that. 450 times we set up a church this size right here. 450 times up and down. So we're real excited to be in. Even though it's week 3, we still feel like it's not even real. It's like week 1. We walk in. I'm still going, where do I go? And I'm the boss. Where do I go? I don't even know where to go. And then so forgive us. So it's brand new to us, even if you've been here over the past 9.5 years. So if you're new and you're thinking, I don't really, you know, these people don't even know me, that's not true. It's actually new for all of us. We're all kind of jumping off, starting all at the same spot. So just welcome, everybody. Just welcome. We're glad you're here. Amen? We're all in this together. Say this with me, new season. Here's what I want you to hear from God, though. Whenever God gives you a new season, there is a new reason. If there's a new season, then God is going to give you a new reason. There's a purpose in it. And today I want to title the second message. Last week was called New Season. Everybody say New Season? This week it's called New Reason. New Reason. So let's jump into that. When God gives you a new season, it's because he has a new reason. Last week's big thought was it's not about you. This week's big thought is that it's all about him. Say it with me. Not about me. It's all about him. And I want to help you today. In fact, many of you have thought, you know, I don't know the purpose of God is for my life. I don't know what the will of God is for my life. Today, I want to help you. When you leave here, you're going to have a pretty good clue, a pretty good idea of the very reason why you're even here today. So I hope to help you with that. Let's go to the book of Proverbs chapter 16, beginning at verse number 4. I want to jump into the word, and then I want to get real practical with you today of how What is your purpose and how you can fulfill it. Proverbs 16:4 tells us, the Lord has made everything for his own. Okay, I'm going to help you. Let me train up a church in the way it should go. When I pause, if it's in yellow, you read it out loud. That'll help you. I promise it will. The Lord has made everything for his own. Oh, you guys are good. All right. So he's made everything for his own purposes. Look at Romans 11 and 36 out of the Living Bible. For everything comes from God alone. Everything lives by his power, and everything for his glory. To him be glory forevermore. And I want to unpack this phrase, everything for his glory. That kind of sounds Bible-ish, kind of Christianese-ish. What does that mean? All for the glory of God. You know, we've kind of heard that before, all for the glory. Let's kind of unpack that a little bit. Let's put some reality and practical. What does it mean for the glory of the Lord? Well, the Bible does tell us a couple of things. One, it says that the earth declares his glory. And so what does that really mean? The earth declares his glory. How many of you have ever been to some place that was just absolutely marvelous and beautiful? And you just went, oh, that's incredible. I don't know, did y'all notice that? I just spit like on the third row. Did y'all see that? It just went, I apologize over there. It's all good. All right. This is embarrassing. And by the way, let's go ahead and get this out of the way. If you could get a highlight of my socks, can y'all get close on my socks? Can y'all do that real quick? I just realized, can y'all see that I'm actually, go to the front probably. If you'll take it from the front. Can you do it from the front? I actually have on two different socks. Yeah, but they're both blue and straight. There you go. Can you see? Just want to go ahead. Thank y'all for coming today. Father, we just want to close in prayer today. What was I talking about? You ever been somewhere? We have a couple that's going to Hawaii. They're coming. We've already warned them because Heidi and I went to Hawaii on our 25th wedding anniversary. It ought to be on your bucket list. You got to go. We've only been once. Took us 25 years of marriage to finally go. We went. Took us 24 hours to get there. I forget how many legs and stops and delays. And man, we were so frustrated. We got there in the middle of the night. We finally got to our hotel. We finally walked up to the front desk. There was a lady that was there. And I looked at her and said, woman, when I wake up in the morning, there better be an ocean right out there. Do you hear me? And she's like, I promise, sir, there is. I said, no, you better promise, because if not, you're in trouble. And we walked up, and somebody told us this, that the blues are more blue, the greens, the reds are more reds. Everything is more vibrant in Hawaii. And we woke up the next morning, we looked out there and went, oh, dear God. Oh, God. You ever been to one of those places that you just look, you just walked out, you got to the top of the Rocky Mountains, and you've never been to a Rocky Mountain before, and you get up and you go, oh, God. The Bible says that all of the earth declares his glory. And that not only says the earth, but it says also that the heavens declare his glory. And what does that mean? That around here, even this time of year, Heidi and I have been driving home in the evenings, and that red sky that's up there, there's been many times Heidi goes, oh, look at that sky. And you go, it's beautiful. I can remember even before Christ, I know none of y'all have ever done this. How many of you have ever sat on the back of a pickup truck with a beer at night in your hands? Raise your hand. You lie, you fry, you're in church right now. You'll go straight to hell. If you're lying in church, you'll go straight to hell. I can remember sitting on, before Christ, before Jesus, y'all, before giving, being born again, I can remember sitting on the back of pickup trucks with my buddies drinking beer. Looking up on a clear sky night and looking at all those stars, and the conversation went something like this. Hey, Eugene, yeah. Do you believe in God? Yep, I sure do. Do you think he really put all those stars up there? Uh-huh. I don't know, but I'm marrying a church girl. We all wanted to marry a church girl. How many of you know? Even the skies declare his glory. The scripture goes on to tell us that Jesus declared his glory, that he was the exact representation of who the Father was. He represented him so well that everybody went, oh my God, man, praise God for his life. By the way, let me break it down for you. Here's what it really means. And have you ever met someone that after you met them, you went, man, I just thank God for them? That their life impacted you so that you said things like, you're a blessing from God. Man, I just want to tell you, just by getting to know your life has impacted my life. And man, I just want to give God thanks for you. That's what it means to live a life that brings glory to God. Are y'all tracking with me this morning? So if it's a new season, everybody say new season. There's a new reason. There's a new reason. Let me give you this Rick quote from Rick Warren where he said, living for God's glory is the greatest achievement you can accomplish with your life. Living for God's glory can be the greatest achievement that you could ever accomplish with your life. That your life would bring glory to God. So you want to know the purpose of God for you? You want to know what God's will for your life is? Remember, it's not about you, it's all about him. It's a new season, if it's a new season, because there's a new reason, and I want to help you understand your very reason for even being here. It's to bring glory to God. Now, I'm going to help you in some practical ways. In fact, I'm going to give, if you want to take some notes, that'd be awesome. Some of you guys keep it on your phone. You can do that, but we'll put the notes up here for you. I want to do some practical things tonight. I want to give you 5 ways to bring glory to God. And by the way, these aren't original to me, but I want to just go ahead and lay these out for you. 5 ways that you can bring glory to God. Number one, we bring God glory by worshiping him. We bring God glory by worshiping him, we start all of our services, if you're new, these pants just won't go down. It's embarrassing. Anyway, if y'all notice that we start every service kind of the same, there's a countdown, and then we go right into music, the music section. And we like music. If you're new here, I know you may have come from a different tradition, or it may be a different style or a different flavor, and that's cool. It's okay. And, we start with singing. It is our moment, our opportunity to come together as a congregation. It's not just singing. It's a time where we get to worship. That's what we call it, worship. It's our time to go, Lord, thank you for all that you've done for us. By the way, did you do realize that you're not the audience? I don't know if you knew that. You're not the audience. In fact, the worship team gets up here. They're just the band. You're the choir. There is an audience that we're singing to. It's the audience of one. It's only one. So if you're up there and you're not participating, that's fine. You go, well, I just want to watch for a while. I mean, that's cool. You can do that. But I'm just telling you, we're not playing for you. We're not singing for you. We're actually playing for the audience and singing to the one who deserves all the glory, right? All the glory. So I like what one of our new people just said. Her kids said, we want to go back to the church, that church. She said, which church? And they called us the singing one. We're a singing church. And so it's kind of weird, though, isn't it? We're like the only group of people in the world, believers, the only people in the world that gather just to sing. You don't gather anywhere else just to sing. But we're here to sing to one. Are y'all with me? But worship, this part of the service, worship is more than just this section. It's whenever we do what God wants us to do, we're actually worshiping God every time we do what God wants us to do. It's by worshiping him. So that's one way in which we can bring glory to God, is by worshiping him. How many of you ever remember, if you were ever in sports growing up, your coach probably said something like this to you. The name on the front of the jersey is way more important than the name on the back of the jersey. And so you always had your team's name here, and then you had your name there. And he would say, it ain't about the name on the back. He It's about the name on the front. And I just want you to know that. That's what Christianity is. Christianity is you got to get rid of the name that's on the back, and you got to live for the name that's on the front. And if you live for that name, it will go well with you. God's hand will be on your life. You'll have the blessings of the Lord. So worshiping Him, it's about the name on the front, not the name on the back. Let me give you number two. These are just practical ways you can bring glory. How many of you want to bring glory to God? You want God to go, I love them. They're amazing. And let me give you number two. You can bring glory to God by loving other believers. I love this language. And by the way, this is not Our Savior's Church's language. This is Bible language. That when you got born again, saved, gave your life to Jesus, He adopted you into His family. He chose you. I don't know if any of you have ever been adopted here. I know we have some. Adoption's pretty cool. Because Heidi and I have three children. We had three children, you know, the natural way. And then we went to the nursery. You open up the deal. And there were prettier babies in there than our three. Oh, come on, quit acting like you know what I mean. We're like, I prefer that one. They go, no, these are yours. Here, you got to take these home. And we took our kids. How many of you know, to have children, you got to love children. But how many of you know it takes more love to adopt a child than it does to have a child? It really does. If you're adopted here today and you go, I'm adopted. No, you're adopted. That meant someone chose you. I didn't have a choice. They checked my band. They checked the baby band. They checked Heidi band. They said, I'm sorry. I go, but that's an ugly baby. They said, I don't care. That's your baby. And we took it home. Now, they grew up to be beautiful, but they was ugly when they was little. I ain't lying. They weren't that pretty. They grew up to be pretty, but they ain't wasn't pretty back then. Quit acting like your baby was all that pretty. Your baby was ugly, too. I've lied to some mamas before going, oh, what a beautiful baby. That baby was ugly. Y'all quit acting all holy up in here. You had the same thought. That is the ugly. You got in the car going, that is the ugliest baby I've ever seen. We better close this thing down. Listen. We got some folks up in here that are hard to love. Oh, quit acting like that. How many of you got a big family? And when y'all get together for your family functions, you walk in there and go, stay away from Uncle Jimmy. I'm telling you kids, stay away. What's your mom? I don't care. Just stay away from Uncle. How many of y'all got some people you got to explain? How many of you know, even within God's family, you got people you got to explain a little bit. He said, look, if you really want to bring glory to God, then really love one another. Listen, let's be honest. In fact, if I had to address everything that was on the news cycle on your television, I would spend all day up here just addressing things. I have to be very careful. I will address some, but we've got a lot of stuff going on in our world. Listen. Prejudice is never going to be torn down until we get the gospel, the love of Jesus in our heart for one another, where it really doesn't matter anymore. If that doesn't start in this building, it will never flow out to the streets of Opelousas or St. Landry Parish. Are y'all with me? If we can't love each other in here, and some of us are hard to love. They are. Maybe God gave us the hard to love ones just to really test our own hearts. If we can't do it in here, we'll never do it out there. Well, in fact, let me show you what the scripture says. In fact, 1 John 3:14, our love for each other proves. It proves that we have gone from death to life. It proves we're born again. It proves we're a new creation. It's the proof. It's the fruit of it. If you can't love, you probably aren't born again. There's no fruit. And watch what he goes on to say. He says, Romans 15:7, therefore, accept each other just as Christ has accepted you. So that God will be given what? You want to bring glory to God? Love people. You can bring glory to God by loving people. That's expected in this house. It's expected. Let me give you number, what number are we on? Number three, we bring glory to God by becoming like Christ, by growing. Once you get born again, everybody say the process. Yeah, once you give your life to Jesus, how many know there is a process? You don't just wake up. We call it sanctification. It's sanctified. It's growing in Christ, becoming more mature. It's where we become more like Jesus. It's a process. In fact, 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, but we Christians have no veil over our faces. We can be mirrors that brightly reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Spirit of the Lord works what? Within us. It works within us. We become more and more like Him. Yeah. Dude, so what am I saying, Pastor Yu? I'm saying to you, if you would give us 1 year. 1 year. 1 year. If you would just come to service for 1 year. If you would, for 1 year, and if, we're going to announce to you where our next growth track is, and you go, "This, I like this church, I want to be a part of it." Go through a growth track, figure out, we'll help you discover what your spiritual gift is, serve. You know, when you serve, you don't have to serve every weekend. Most of our team serve but once a month, or maybe sometimes twice a month. Just serve. You come in here anyway, you might as well serve, because it's not about the name on the back of the jersey, it's about the name on the front of the jersey. Just serve. You just do that. You hear about our small groups. We do 2 semesters a year. Go to a small group. If you would do that for 1 year, I promise you, 1 year from now, you won't even look like, smell like, act like, talk like the same individual that started right now. 1 year. I'll call it the 1 year challenge. You won't be the same individual. I know you. I see you in Opelousas. Yeah, you shot the finger at me the other day in traffic on Cresswell Lane. I said, look at that. They shot me the finger. And then I saw an Our Savior's Church sticker on the back of their car. How many know we're all a work in progress? Turn to your neighbor and say, he's talking to you. Let me give you number four. Help me out, Vic. Number four, we bring glory to God. We bring God glory by serving others with our gifts. I told you this last week. We settled the fact last week. You are marvelous. You were created uniquely. There's nobody like you. None. You are not an accident. I know your parents told you were an accident. They're just accidental parents. You're not an accident. God knew you before the foundations of the world. He created you. He put you, even gave you your unique personality and your gift mix, and he put them all together, and he made you. David realized that in the book of Psalms, and he said, I am marvelously made. I am marvelous. And he created you, and you've got a gift that needs to be expressed. Not for the name on the back of the jersey, but for the name that's on the front. A few weeks ago when all of our teachers were here from St. Landry Parish, and they give me, you know, the superintendent said, I'm going to give you, you know, you get 3 minutes at the beginning. Well, how many of you know this is our house? And he said, 3 minutes, I'm going to take 8. It's called pastoral privilege. And I shared a little bit of this story. I said, there's only one teacher I remember from high school. Mr. Carruthers was his name, my social studies teacher. And I know that y'all are going to find this hard to believe, but I was kind of like a class clown back in the day. I know, it's hard to believe, isn't it? And I was very disruptive in his class. I'd get the kids to laughing, and he'd be on the board. I'd say something funny. Everybody'd crack up, and then he'd turn around, want to know who did what. And one day after class, probably 6 weeks into the year, he says, Gene, he called me Gene. He was older. Gene, I need to see you after class. Oh, great. So Mr. Carruthers set me down. He goes, Gene, listen, we're having a little problem in our class. And you think it's showtime. And listen, I appreciate you're a very talented young man. Well, thank you, Mr. Carruthers. You're very gifted. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Finally, someone is recognizing the very gifts that are within me. And he says, I tell you what we're going to do. If you quit disrupting my class, I'll give you every Friday the last 10 to 15 minutes of class. I'll turn this class over to you. And you can sing, dance, tell jokes, do whatever you want to the last 15 minutes every Friday. You're on. I was a model student Monday through Thursday. Then came Friday, and he 15 minutes before the bell, I'd go, Gene, you're on. And I'd get up, and I'd do something. I'd start singing or something. I would just go, whatever. The kids would go, oh, Eugene, sing. And they'd give me, like, I was like a jukebox. They just punch the number. And then I would sing it. And man, I'd just sing, Black Cat Up, Died of Rape. And I would just sing it. I'm going to do a new album, and y'all can get that. Well, in my yearbook, it said, I won most likely to succeed. And on the bottom, it says, what are you going to do with your life? I said, I am going to be an entertainer on the Las Vegas Strip. That was my goal. This is all before Jesus, right? I go, that's what I'm going to do. I am going to be on the Las Vegas Strip entertaining people. But how do you know when Jesus captures your heart, you no longer live for the name on the back. Now you got to live for the name on the front. I'm still doing the same thing. I'm just doing it for Jesus instead of doing it for me. Are y'all with me? Watch what the scripture says. Watch this. What he says. God has given each of you a gift from a great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as though God himself were speaking through you. Do you have the gift of helping others? Do it with the strength and energy that God supplies. Do it with all your strength and energy, that everything you will do will bring what? Glory to God. What am I saying to you? Business owner, entrepreneur, you've been given a gift. Do it for the glory of God. Do it to build God's kingdom, not your own. Do it for the name on the front of the jersey. Politician, I know you keep showing up here on Sundays. We're glad you're here. But don't be a politician for the name on the back of the jersey. Be a politician for the name that's on the front of the jersey. Don't be a teacher for the back. Be a teacher for the front. Use your gift. Don't pastor for the back. Pastor for the front. And let me give you the last one. We bring glory to God by telling other people about him. I mean, that just simply means this. Don't keep it a secret what God's doing. Don't do it. I was so blessed. Heidi, I'm not a big Facebook social media person, but after our first weekend here, Heidi was reading all the comments that came. And she was just reading. And there was bunches of them, of people who came for the first time and gave their experience of being here. And she was reading them. And it moved my heart. But one of them said something like this. I walked into the church, and all they were doing was telling other people what happened to them. By the way, that's all God really expects of you. It's not that you know the Roman road and every scripture and every verse. All he wants you to do is to be able to tell your story about what God is doing in your life. And it doesn't matter where you're at on the journey or the process. And one of those posts was like that. And I love this. I just want to share just a little bit of it with you. They talked about when they walked into the building, many of you greeted them and loved them, and they felt loved when they walked in the door for the glory of God. And then it says someone helped them get to where their children needed to go for the glory of God. And then they walked in and the worship team began to use their gifts. And they said they were moved by every song that was sang for the glory of God. And then the pastor got up and talked and used their gift. And God spoke to them through the message for the glory of God. And then they posted that post and others said, I want to go too. And came the next week, and we read the next week that they too came and said much of the same thing and said, we're going to keep going to that church. Do you see what happened? One simply shared their story, and someone else came to faith because of their story, who's now sharing their story, who others will come to faith because of their story. Listen, what am I trying to say to you? Wait. What I'm trying to say to you, you've got people to tell that I'll never be able to tell. You have circles of influence. Our job and expectation by God is that we'll tell our story, what he's doing in our life. In fact, look what it says in 2 Corinthians 4. All of this is for your benefit. And as God's grace reaches more and more people, there will be great thanksgiving. And God will receive more and more. Can we give God all the praise and honor? We want to bring glory. I want you to bring glory to God. Did you notice that none of the things on the list had anything to do with talent, special ability? All of us can love. All of us can share our story. We all have the same ability to bring glory and honor to God. Give me just 3 minutes. Everybody just be still real quick. Three minutes. I got this phone call one night from my middle daughter. She was in high school, got her driver's license. She was driving to Lafayette. I won't tell you which daughter it is, but her name's Hannah. She's got many gifts and talents, but she does have a weakness. She doesn't understand directions. She's directionally challenged. North, south, east, and west means nothing to her. She took her first road trip to Lafayette by herself. She's a new driver. We knew, oh, dear Lord. We prayed, Jesus, be with her. Jesus, take the wheel. Jesus, take the wheel. And she drove to an event in Lafayette, was going to come home that night about 9 o'clock. We're waiting. And all of a sudden, the phone rings about 9 when she's supposed to be home. And you know that ring, parents. You don't even have to hear the voice. You just know the ring. You're like, that's not a good ring. Even though it sounds like all the other rings, you just know it's not a good ring. We got that ring. I picked it up. Hannah, Dad, y'all know that voice. Dad, wasn't like, hey, Dad. Wasn't, hey, Pop, what's up? Dad. And you go, what's wrong? And she goes, I'm lost. I said, you're lost? I don't know where I am. I go, well, where are you? Are you in the car? No, I'm driving down the road and I have no idea where I'm at. I said, well, what do you see? Nothing. It's dark. Get me home, Dad. I want to go home. It's like, what? I go, am I going the right way? I don't know. Where are you? I don't know, Dad. That's why I'm calling you. I said, okay. She goes, do you want me to get off? Do you want me to exit? I'm on a freeway, but I don't know if it's the right freeway. I said, baby, here's what we're going to do. Don't get off. Just keep going. We're looking for a sign. We just need to find a sign. Just keep going. I see one way up there. It's a big green one. Okay, just keep going until you can read it. Just keep going. Okay, I got tears in my eyes. I can't read anything. Anyway, we get up there. She goes, it says Crowley. I said, okay, baby, here's what we're going to do. Daddy going to lead you home, baby. Here we go. We're going to go ahead and exit. I didn't want to tell her, baby, you're going to Houston. You know what I mean? I go, baby, here's what we're going to do. Here's what we're going to do. Y'all owe Mr. Carruthers a debt of gratitude, you know what I mean, my teacher. And so I said, we're going to exit. We're going to turn around. So she did. She goes, okay, what does that do now? Now we're going to go back the other way. Okay, I'm going the other way. Okay, now when you see the sign that says Opelousas, we're going to take that one. We're going to head north on 49. Okay, I think I got it now. Okay, baby, we'll see. Listen, at least Hannah had the wherewithal. She knew who to call when she was lost. Look at me. Some of you have been lost for a long time, and you need to call your daddy. Oh, I'm not talking about your earthly daddy. You need to call him, because he knows where you're at, and he can get you to where you're supposed to go. Are you with me? He can get you there. Father, help me, help me, help me. Listen, all of us here who are serving God and walking with Christ, there have been many, many days we just called out and said, Father, I want to live for you. I don't want to do it for the name on the back anymore. I want to do it for the name on the front. Listen, if you'll live for God, all those desires that you've had, he'll take care of the rest of it, I promise you. He'll give you the desires of your heart. It's when you live for the name on the back that things get really in trouble. Are y'all tracking with me this morning? I want you to bow your heads with me. Father, we do. We thank you. We receive your word, though it's practical today, of how we can bring glory and honor to you today. I pray for the believer here that, Father, we would set our heart on bringing honor and glory to you. And Father, today I pray for those who are lost. Maybe you're lost here today. You go, I get where little Hannah was. Don't know where I'm going. Don't even know where I'm headed. Maybe today you just need to call out to the Father. Jesus said, a man can't see the kingdom or they can't enter the kingdom until they've been born again. He was very specific. You can go, well, I've been water baptized or I've been christened, and those are all very good things. But Jesus said, you can't enter the kingdom, see the kingdom. You won't even fulfill your purpose until you've been born again. You go, my birthday is July 30th, 1965. That was the day I was born. I got born again in the summer of 1983. That's the day I turned my life over to Jesus and asked him to come into my heart and be the Lord of my life. And he said, son, you're in Crowley. Let me help you get back to Opelousas. That was the day I called out to the Father. And maybe today's the day you can call out to the Father. Again, Jesus said, no one can see it, no one can enter it. And you go, Pastor, you, how do I do this? How do I get born again? It's as easy as A, B, C. A, admit that you are a sinner. We have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. B, believe that Christ came to be the sin bearer, to take your guilt, your sin, and your shame, to die for it. He died on a cross to take your penalty and mine. And then C, confess him as Lord and Savior. So today, if that's you, you would like to be born again, I'm going to pray for you right now. All I simply ask you to do, you would hold your hand up high right now, all over this building. Hold it up high. Say, Pastor, that's me. Pray for me. I want to be born again. Thank you. I see your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4. Hold it up high. Thank you, sir. 5 and 6. Let's see it. 7 and 8, 9, 10, 11 and 12. Thank you. 13, 14, 15, 16. Hold it up high. 17, 18. Thank you. 19. Hold it up high. 19, 19, 20, I see it, 21 and 22. 22 hands this morning. Congregation, I want us to pray with each one of these. Would you say this with me? Dear Lord Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe that on the cross, you took my sin, my shame, and my guilt, and you died for it. I believe you faced hell for me so I wouldn't have to go, and that you rose from the dead to give me a place in heaven, purpose on earth, and a relationship with the Father. So today, Lord Jesus, I turn from my sin to be born again. God is my Father. Jesus is my Savior. The Holy Spirit is my helper. And heaven is now my home. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we give God all the praise?
Thanks again for joining us today. If you'd like to learn more about Our Savior's Church or how to get involved, visit us online at oursaviorschurch.com.